Psalm 121. Let's read this together as we begin Psalm 121, one of the more beautiful songs that maybe you have heard done in some form or fashion. I won't sing the song that is in my heart this morning. I was thinking about it, but I think it would detract maybe. But it is one that I had a chance to listen to in my seminary days, and doing security in those days, I would work many overnights, and this song would be one that I would just sing as I went on my rounds and walked outside and prayed for the Lord to be safe keeping the college campus that I worked at, and He always answered those prayers. It's good to be in security and know the one who is in control of all security, our Heavenly Father. Let's read Psalm 121 together. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. And if you don't know a song, maybe you should make one up so that you can hide this in your heart. It is one of the wonderful promises from God to us. He is our keeper, our guardian. So you might have heard these lyrics before. Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody. Help, you know I need somebody. And then help, a little more musical than that. One of those verses, now my life has changed in oh so many ways. My independence seems to vanish in a haze. But every now and then I feel oh so insecure. I know that I just need you like I've never done before. For not being a Christian stanza, that sounds an awful lot like a prayer that we could echo. Every now and then I feel so insecure. I know I need you now more than I ever did before. And we know that this singer is crying out, help me if you can, I'm feeling down. But we know the answer to that. We know that help has been given. Help that comes from the Lord. When is the last time you have asked for help? When's the last time I asked somebody for help? It's quite a heart-searching question. It's quite a humbling question. And Lord willing, it's not when we are on the ground on our backs and looking around and can't find anyone when we are crying out, help. But that we have those who are checking in and watching and caring. And we are willing even to say, help me. I could use some right now. The question after that, though, is not when's the last time you asked for help, but in some ways, as we go through our days, we are always turning to something or someone to find our help. And as we sang about songs of trust in Jesus, that He's our refuge, our firm foundation, this pilgrim journey that we're going to look through, and we're now in book number two, or song number two, Psalm 121, this journey that we're on, going to Jerusalem like the pilgrim was, it's not just about, as last week we saw, repentance, a turning away from realizing that we cannot be amidst a world of lies and a world and friends that are telling us subtle messages of follow this and follow after that. But we are turning and heading to Jerusalem, our heavenly city where God dwells. And we are, Lord willing, trying to fix our eyes on that path and stay on that path. But as you might know of that story, Pilgrim's Progress, there were certainly times when he left and departed that path that was lighted for him. Whether it's the miry bog or the castle of despair, or you name it. What is it that could trip us up in this journey? And on this journey, it's about an internal trust. A trust in the God who sustains all things. He sustains our life. He is controlling our days. He has our days directed. He has a plan for our days. And in this title, Discipleship for the Long Haul is Sustained by God, we find in Psalm 121 this encouragement song that God is our helper, he's our guardian, he's our protector, he's our sustainer. So where do our hearts turn to? What do we trust in as we hit a trial or danger along this journey? When we cry, maybe not audibly, but internally, help, I don't know where to turn. What comes after that? What do we turn to? Do we cry out and pray to our Father who watches over us? Or do we click the remote and get distracted with media? Or do we see the light of the refrigerator door beckon us and call us to some comfort food? Or do we open up the magazine and read about our favorite hobby? What helps us? What comforts us? What ultimately will bring us sustaining power for the long run? And this psalmist, he is asking the same question. Look at verses 1 and 2 as we look at the pilgrim's helper. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Now, this can be taken in many ways, two different ways. This psalm obviously could have been sung as the pilgrim is getting closer to Jerusalem, and he's lifting his eyes up to the hills, and he sees the temple. He sees his final destination is almost there. This might even have been a song that was sung as he walked up the steps on the south side of that temple, heading in through the dark cavern of a hallway up into the temple square. And people might have been singing, where do I find my help as I look up? That certainly is a plausible interpretation. My help comes from the Lord. I'm here in Jerusalem. I'm here at the temple among the people of God. Another thought, though, and one that intrigues me as well, is what if this pilgrim is just starting out on his journey? And if we believe it's someone of 120, someone far away in places like Meshech and Kedar, as Psalm 120 state, he is looking to the hills as many journey people would. If you've gone hiking for multiple days and you come over a crest and you think, I hope it's down. And you see actually a higher hill that you have to crest over. I don't know if any of you are enjoyed or did that in the past. I've loved hiking trips. We haven't quite thought about how that's going to work with two little ones, but they certainly make that plausible with hiking backpacks and everything. But in the journey, you're looking to the hills, wondering what is over the horizon. And if you put your mindset in that pilgrim, he's walking this road, and what he sees on a hill, maybe a troop of military people providing safe passage for some travelers, or maybe an entourage of royalty, or a messenger with the banners of the king, and he is reminded of peace and safety. But you know what also he would have seen on those hills? Temples. Worship places. They were always put on the high points within the cities and the villages. You could see those as you came and entered into a new city. They wanted to promote gods and goddesses, and here is where you will find your help, right? And the pilgrim would be seeing worship centers and looking for help, safety. And he would think maybe, oh, interesting, over here I find a worship temple, and I just passed that one back there. But he is on a mission to Jerusalem to worship, as this psalm calls our God, Yahweh, the only true God. But I think that makes this psalm more at home with us as we look to the hills and we look for answers and for security and for safety, and we wonder what is over the horizon. Do we, like the psalmist, turn our thoughts, our heart, and our gaze, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of all that is around me? Or do we see this worship of fill in the blank, and we wonder, could that be the answer? Could that be the hope? Could that be the place I need to go to for my help? What do we turn to when we are crying out, help, O God? Well, as we start with the Lord as our helper, our creator who made us, this inference of him making the heavens and earth reminds the traveler, he also made me. He knows how my bones and ligaments and blood and everything is flowing as I'm walking on this journey. He knows the pebbles and rocks and holes and gaps in the path as I carefully venture to Jerusalem. This was a true reality. Everything was dry and arid. If you've ever gone hiking and it hasn't rained in a while, you know the danger of just slipping on a dry, small pebble, twisting the ankle. Now, we don't want to talk about those things, but this is what the psalmist is thinking of. This is the song he is singing as he's looking at his path, making sure each step is a sure foot for his survival or her survival. Or maybe they're with a wagon train and they have to get clear passage as they go on this journey for all that are coming with them. Then it makes sense for why this psalmist talks of what he does next. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. A note I had not heard of before from a pastor and commentator is that verses 1 and 2 is from the new believer starting out on his journey to Jerusalem. And verses 3 through verse 8 is of a fellow traveler, a veteran, an experienced one, reminding this newbie this is who your God is. That is plausible. It also is plausible that this same pilgrim who is asking the question, where comes my help when I see dangers or when I think about, well, there could be something unknown in the horizon that I don't see that is going to attack me or come against me on my journey. Where is my help going to come from? This same psalmist preaches to himself, states truth back to himself, doesn't stay within this cry of, I am helpless. But he speaks truth back and he says, my help comes from the Lord. I actually know the truth amidst my doubts, amidst my question, amidst whether I'm going to make this path with its dangers and its curves and its hills and mountains, and with robbers and people that might want to come against those on that path. He asks, where does my help come from? And that's when we turn to the Lord, not just being our helper, but our guardian. He is the one who answers us when our cry maybe is audible, maybe is internal. And that's why this psalm is a beautiful psalm for us to internally remind ourselves of these truths. A man named Louis Marcus writes of this story, The Pilgrim's Progress. By the time I discovered Pilgrim's Progress, I'd already been convinced of my status as a pilgrim, as a sojourner on this earth. But what John Bunyan, the one who wrote the story, taught me was that the journey isn't only external. It's also perhaps primarily internal. This pilgrim is seeing the path. He's thinking of the dangers. He's looking to temples, and his eyes are taking all this in. But it's not those external things that he has to worry about. It's affecting his heart and his thoughts and his doubts. And he starts to worry. He starts to wonder. He starts to look at what could be my help. And so this psalm speaks to us internally to preach truths to our hearts as we go on in verse 3. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is our guardian. He is always alert, always awake, always there for us. This understanding of the Lord not letting our foot be moved, this idea is to be tripped up, to actually fall, to slip as you would on a path, to slip on the loose pebbles, to possibly break or greatly injure an ankle or a foot. And the psalmist is singing to himself and maybe to those who are with him, the Lord is my helper. He will not let me be moved. He watches over my safety. This doesn't mean it's not a song of perfect security and protection that we will never get hurt along this journey, that we will never succumb to a trial. But it means that we will not stumble to the point of falling and not to be able to get back up. Our foundation is secure. Our footing of our hearts and our souls will not be moved. Even if we slip, our God is with us. He is our guardian. He knows our every step in our life. He knows when something that looks promising closes and it disappoints and we're a little heartbroken. He knows when our child or our grandchild, whom we're cheering for, doesn't make that final catch or put your scenario in there. And we go, oh, no. He knows our every minute of the day because he doesn't slumber or sleep. When a psalmist reiterates or repeats words, it's for effect of highlighting this character of God, that he is one who doesn't tend toward weariness, which is the word for slumber. And usually slumber is attending toward weariness to actually going to sleep. It's beginning that process of putting our head down to the side, grabbing a pillow. The idea of beginning toward thinking about sleep. He doesn't sleep. But isn't it interesting that we read also in the Psalms 127:2, it is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. The one who never sleeps calls us to sleep. Maybe that's the practical application that we might need to hear this morning, that I need to hear. Do I stay awake late in toil, anxious or working hard at something and forgetting that that will be there tomorrow? My God knows my situation. He would rather me get my sleep than stay awake, fretting, worrying, wondering, and maybe not even turning to him, but trying to do it in our own strength. And the Lord reminds us in Psalm 127:2, it's in vain that you try to toil and do all these things and stay up late and get up early at times to deal with things by yourself. For the Lord wants us to be reminded that he is sustaining us on this journey. He is with us on this journey. Let us not toil after something without saying, Lord, help me in this test, or help me in this construction project, or help me with this interview, or help me fill in the blank. We are not going at these things alone. I need to be reminded of that when I put my head on my pillow. Thank you, Lord. You are with me today and you will be with me tomorrow. I need to sleep. He gives to his beloved sleep. The one who never sleeps. The one who doesn't need to sleep. He doesn't grow weary. He doesn't grow tired. He doesn't grow exhausted. He doesn't grow frustrated. All the things that can succumb us, our God is the strong one, the sleepless one. Psalm 34:6-7. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. What a beautiful psalm. Psalm 91. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. He keeps us. That's the word in our translation. Maybe yours says he guards us. Did you notice how many times the psalmist uses this word for guardian? Verse 3, he who keeps you will not slumber. Verse 4, he keeps Israel. Verse 5, the Lord is your keeper. Verse 7, the Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. Verse 8, the Lord will keep your going out and your coming in. He, by nature, is a father who guards, protects, plans out, keeps us in his hands, in his safety, in his plans, in his will for us. He is with us always, even when we might think, where have you gone, O Lord? There is a psalm that cries out, God, are you asleep? Where are you? Would you please awake for me? Here it is in Psalm 44:23. And this is just after the psalmist cries out, I'm in distress. People are persecuting me. I am being sought after. From a psalm of the sons of Korah. And verse 23 is a cry, Awake, why are you sleeping, O Lord? Rouse yourself. Do not reject us forever. Oh, I love how honest the psalms are. That even this writer cries out to God, I feel like you're sleeping right now. I don't sense that you're awake and you're watching and you are protecting. But you couple that psalm of honesty. Awake, O Lord, to my cries. And you turn to Psalm 121. He never sleeps. He is always looking after us. John 10:27-29 states, The sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. He has us always. He is awake always. He is alert and guarding and protecting always and at all times. This is who our God is. And you know what? Because he never sleeps, we can. We can take a nap. We can go to bed at 10 o'clock, 8 o'clock, if you really want to. Any 7 o'clock people here? We don't have to stay up till midnight, 1 a.m., 2 a.m., trying to figure out how we're going to fix something that tomorrow brings. For the Lord wants to give us our sleep. For some of you, you might work different shifts. You go to bed at 10 in the morning, you wake up at 6 at night. He gives you that sleep. He gives us what we need for our journey. The Lord is our helper. He's our guardian. He's also our protector. Look at this in verses 5 and 6. The Lord is your keeper or guardian. I love that word guardian. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. In his guardian protection, he is our shade. For this pilgrim, for this scenario, you need to understand the scene. If you remember us talking about last psalm, it mentioned the juniper tree. It's also called a shade tree. And of course, it has that name because it grew big enough out of the ground. It was a bush. It could survive in the arid, dry paths, especially for the travelers in the south. And they were exhausted and thirsty. And at times, all they needed was some shade from that sun beating down on them. For those of you who have gone to Israel and you've been in that southern region below Jerusalem and you've walked outside and after 10 minutes, you're going, where's that water I brought with me? The dry, thirsty land. He is our shade. He quenches our thirst. What else does shade do? Well, for some, at least in some movies, you see people falling asleep against a tree all the time. You might see that around our area. It provides a break from that beating sun, from that warmth. Maybe you feel a breeze when you're sitting in that shade. This is what the pilgrim was longing for. It was only good, the juniper tree, to fit about one or two individuals within its shade. But there were many that would sprout about, and they would go under that and just sit there and regain some strength in the shade. Regain life and vigor to say, okay, I'm not done with my journey today. I need another 2 hours of travel. But it would give them that refreshment to say, okay, on to the next block of my journey. And then the psalmist says, that is your God. He is your shade on your right hand. The right hand was the good hand. Righteousness, success, the Lord blessing. The Lord gives his gifts with his right hand, the hand of blessing. The left hand in the Bible was very much related to judgment, condemnation. He gives us shade on our right hand. He is the one who provides and gives us the rest we need. This spoke of a very common illness here in verse 6. The sun will not strike you by day, as we still know of heat stroke. They called it, quite figuratively, sunstroke. They also had a term for when the moon would create what was called lunacy, from the word luna, meaning moon. But what's interesting is what the psalmist is saying is God protects us during the physical parts of the day when we are walking and laboring in the heat of the sun. He keeps us from being sunstroke, but he also protects us in the evening from lunacy, what they called moonstroke, the times of the evening when we think about a lot of things and our emotions can sometimes get the best of us as we get tired. And many times they associated the nighttime with mentally losing our emotions, our thoughts, what we know to be true. The Lord keeps us, guards us from moonstroke as well. He sustains us during our daily labors, and he sustains us in the evening hours. Just like Philippians 4, if any of you are anxious, what does it call us to do? Turn to the Lord in prayer. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And what's interesting is it's not just about prayer. He then moves to what are we to think about? Once we've brought our anxious thoughts to God in prayer, God gives us peace. Verse 8, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. He is our shade. He protects us during sunstroke, during moonstroke. And lastly, he is not just our protector, but he is our sustainer. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. 2 Thessalonians 3:3 says, the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. He keeps us from all evil. Remember our study in 1 John? 1 John 5:18 says, we know that everyone who has been born of God does not keep on sinning, but he who was born of God, that is the Savior, the one who was born of God, protects him, and the evil one does not touch him. The Lord holds us in his hands, and even though we might slip and maybe stumble or fall against a pebble, we will not utterly fall. We are kept from the evil one. He cannot take hold of us again, for we are being held and sustained by our Heavenly Father. He guards us in all of our life. Verse 7, He will keep your life. He will keep it till the very end. As the psalmist says, from all your goings out and your comings in, from this time forth and forevermore. Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:17 through 18, the Lord stood by me and strengthened me. And he's sharing, even when everyone else deserted me, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed, and so that all the Gentiles might hear. The Lord rescued me and will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. That word forevermore is a word that gives us hope. God will sustain us through the whole journey. And when he speaks of a forever sustaining, it is a reference as we close to the hope for this psalmist that was to come. That there would be a Savior, the Son of God, who would come and provide us a way to be eternally kept by God forever. It was in the Son's death on the cross, his taking care of the wrath of God on our behalf, the sin being put on his shoulders, and him giving us his righteousness and forgiving our sins. This is how this psalmist can say, the Lord will keep me from this time forth and forevermore, based upon what Jesus Christ has done on our behalf. Have you not just trusted in God, as this psalmist calls us, to trust in his guardianship over us, but also to trust in his Son? That Jesus Christ took care of the greatest dilemma and the greatest stumbling that we needed to overcome, the eternal judgment that sin would bring for each one of us as sinners. But have you trusted in Jesus to save you from that judgment, from the consequences of sin? For if you have trusted in him, you can say, as this psalmist sings, he will keep me forevermore. He watches over me as I go in and as I go out. So today, as you have come in and been with the people of God, and as you go out and you are sent as a missionary into the world, do you know that your Lord will always be going with you? In every stage, not just into the church and out of the church, but into your door at your home and out of your door at your home, into the grocery store as you shop, and out of the grocery store as you drive. He will be with you through all things. And for this psalm traveler, this pilgrim, he might have even sung this as he went in to that temple in Jerusalem. And he would have sung it as he went out, that, Lord, you are with me forevermore. May we encourage each other this morning as we are with each other, the people of God, that he keeps us and he sustains us in this life. We are but to trust in him as our helper. Where does my help come from? It comes from the Lord and what he has done for us through his Son, Jesus. Amen. He is our keeper. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this songbook as we look at the pilgrim's journey, as we look at our journey. We are called out of darkness into the light by your grace, and we are sustained in the journey by your grace. It is something we don't deserve, but it is a gift from you that you watch over us. You keep us from falling completely. You watch our every move. You call us at the end of the day to put our heads on our pillows and sleep and trust in your protection. You are a refuge during the day at our work, our shade. You help us take our thoughts captive to Christ when we might have doubts and mentally struggle. You call us to yourself to bring our thoughts to the truth of God's word. And we do not go on this journey alone. Praise God, for you are our guardian in our goings out and our comings in. You are our guardian forevermore. Lord, help me to know that you are with me always, as that promise in Isaiah 41:10 says, and as you promised us in Matthew 28, as you sent us out as disciples with the good news, and lo, you are with us always to the end of the age. May we hold fast to that great promise you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen.